This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckabee. Here's a sample now of the passions and hopes of some Trump supporters on the National Mall who are looking forward to the first 100 days.
What do I want to see in the first 100 days?
I want to see how much he can do to undo the harm that has been done by his predecessor.
The promises that he made coming true and the wall going up.
Getting the wall built on the Mexican border.
Control the borders.
I want him to take care of Obamacare.
The repeal of Obamacare.
Oh. Repeal Obamacare.
Yes.
Kind of a return to a focus on the American people, in particular the American worker.
And him actually bringing back the economy a little bit.
Lower taxes.
Do something about ISIS.
Anything, man. Anything positive other than what we've been dealing with for the last 8-10 years. The last 2-3 presidents suck. So we need something different. That's it.
Reverse Definitely. Everything Obama did.
Yes. Immediately.
I'm not that optimistic.
Yeah, losing a lot of our civil liberties and privacy.
As long as we continue to fight the good fight, I think that's what we need to do to ensure that progress continues to be made.
That's a lot to ask in the first 100 days, but I want to see him prove to everybody that voted against him that he's here for them.
We have two more Trump supporters now watching events of the day unfolding from their homes. Cheryl St. Germain is a 61-year-old former restaurant owner in Marco Island, Florida. Hi, Cheryl.
Thank you.
Kevin Loney joins us also, who's a 61-year-old salesman from Manchester, New Hampshire. I don't know why we have a thing for 61-year-olds, but Kevin, thanks for joining us.
Hi, John. Thank you.
It's a very
nice to be here.
Very special demographic. Your thoughts about what happened today and that thought of the individual in Washington, D.C., who said it's really important for Donald Trump to be the president of all the people who didn't vote for him. How do you think he started today, Kevin?
I was surprised. I'm very pleased with him invoking, you know, the Lord and that we're one America. Because the people who didn't vote for him, and I've been trying, telling him, give him a chance, give him a chance, they're not going to be swayed by words. Probably why he didn't address it more in his speech. He'll show them. That's the only way. So I'm very excited, and I think we have to get around that.
Cheryl, you almost were one of the people who didn't vote for Donald Trump. How do you feel now?
Well, honestly, I have nothing but positive energy. We all know why the people were on the fence with this one, and it was challenging. But once the last debate came out, I was convinced. I was comfortable. I feel his strong determination to be successful. He's driven. He's a very powerful man, and he is going to do the best he can do. That I do believe.
All right. But he's now, you know, he's sucked into the bubble of Washington, D.C. He is in the tentacles of the Washington establishment. What's going to keep him from being taken over by that Washington establishment that has taken over so many other high-minded presidents in the past? Cheryl?
Truthfully, no one has had a president like Donald Trump. He is unique in many ways, and I don't believe his challenges are many, but I don't believe that he is going to fall into that. He's too strong-willed and confident. He's got a lot going, and he's going to do well. I'm very positive and high energy about this.
Kevin, you're a salesman, right?
Yes, sir.
I mean, you got some of the same DNA that Donald Trump has, I suspect, right?
I do.
Yeah. Do you think he wants this job?
Yes. You know, some people say it might be rose-colored glasses, but when you think about assembling a team or, you know, selling a concept and, you know, righting the ship, yeah, it's probably the biggest ring he has ever reached for. You know, someone mentioned the corporations were nervous about him. Yes, because they've been making millions, and he talked to all of us who haven't. I mean, I can tell you since 2008, my income has dropped dramatically for a number of reasons. To have him surround himself with billionaires, I don't care. They're successful, and they know how to run things, get things done, accomplish it, and he knows we're watching.
So to both of you, and I'm gonna push you pretty hard on this, Donald Trump says that patriotism is going to be our common ground. And when I was a little kid growing up, yeah, okay, you salute the flag. We're all Americans. That's the thing that unites us. But as I grew up, and as I understood our history, and as I understand the very different experiences of very different people, African Americans have a different view than white Americans. This idea of patriotism and whether the country's on your side or not varies radically from group to group. How can Donald Trump make this patriotic narrative that's going to bring everybody back into the tent? Because, boy, the election, the campaign, this was not a big tent campaign.
At the start of the election period, I listened to you faithfully and I listened to WGBH in Boston because they lean a little to the left and I'm definitely right. So I heard time and time again people saying why they feared this guy and why they feared us going more patriotism. And I did learn many, many things that I didn't see. One is sensitivity to some of these issues. But President Trump, he went out, reached out to Courier. He reached out to Ford. He's got some infrastructure. So all of a sudden now you're seeing a multifaceted plan, and he's got to continue that. He's got to call these people in and sit down and say, okay, no, we're not just going to throw you out. We're not just going to shut down Obamacare, but we want to do it right. So I think you'll see a multifaceted plan. I think you'll see many people going out. He sent his daughter to reach out to Al Gore. Thought that was brilliant. He will do more of that. I promise you that. But he's going to hit the ground running, hopefully in a few hours.
I looked at the aerial shots there in Washington, and, you know, it's a pretty white crowd, Cheryl. Does that concern you at all?
Well, there's going to be a lot of problems with a lot of his social issues. My hope is that in time, when we see improvement, when things are going more positive, it's not going to happen overnight in a year. It might even be 3-4 years for a lot of his accomplishments. Let's not overanalyze everything that's just happening right now. Let's give him a chance and let's be on his side and be positive. And maybe he'll be the next Reagan. That's my hope.
Thanks to Cheryl St. Germain, a former restaurant owner in Marco Island, Florida, and Kevin Loney, a salesman from Manchester, New Hampshire.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.